This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to BFM 89.9. This is Koo Soo Chong and Philip C. It's 18 minutes past 7. In about half an hour, we'll talk to Zaid Malik, the coordinator for Lawyers for Liberty on fake news. But in the meantime, let's talk about Malaysian politics, one of our favourite topics. In a surprising turn of events over the weekend, PKR Vice President Xavier Jayakumar announced that he was quitting the party to stand as a government-friendly independent.
Right, so the Kuala Lumpur MP said he had grown extremely frustrated following the events of the past year. Xavier felt that opposition should be helping the government to combat the pandemic instead of constantly pressing for election. So Xavier is the third lawmaker to leave PKR in recent weeks after Julau MP Larry Sung and Tebrau MP Stephen Chong, who left to back Muhyiddin Yassin as independent lawmakers.
Okay, so meanwhile, Dato' Sri Azman Ali and Tan Sri Anwar Musa have hinted there would be more defections coming. So what's next for Pakatan and PKR? Can we expect more defections? And what does this mean for Anwar's hopes to become Prime Minister one day? For more of this, we've got Dr. O. Wee San, the Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Dr. O, what do you make of Xavier's decision to quit the party? Was the news a surprise to you? And do you expect more defections in the coming months for PKR?
Well, of course, not really a surprise. Me coming from Sabah, and in recent months, we have seen a lot of, shall we politely call them, crossing overs, primarily from the opposition to the government of the day. But of course, in particular, that Xavier would cross over, that comes as a surprise, yeah, because he has been quite vocal in voicing out various concerns and speaking out against the government of the day and so on. And yes, I do think there will be more crossing overs. I think one of the senior ministers has put forward a formula, something to the extent of 1+1+1 and so on to the infinity, yeah.
So you say you were not so surprised with the Sabah with him, you know, question marks. Do you think he was threatened or incentivized to jump?
Well, usually when an MP decides to jump, there is a combination of factors, right? There could be all these inducements or threats and so on. But I think sometimes there could also be a frustration within the party ranks, such as, for example, if you lose a power struggle within the party, then sometimes it's also tempting to cross to the other side as well. Yeah.
Yeah, but Isan, they have not left to join the government of the day, specifically in party terms. They've left to become independent lawmakers that are friendly to the government of the day. What does that mean?
Well, that is almost equivalent as you joined officially one of the parties from the other side, because you are supporting the ruling coalition, you're propping up their numbers, so that is equivalent to you officially joining them.
What is your sense of then more defections that might come from DAP or Amanah?
Well, if you look at the previous examples, last year there was a Sabah Adun from DAP and a nominated Adun, for that matter, who crossed over as well. And you saw recently there were some Amanah Aduns who went into PKR. Imagine if PKR did not take them, it is likely then they would cross over to the other side. So I cease to be surprised by all this jumping.
So all these jumping or defections, right, they've really been accelerating the past 2 weeks. Is this a sign that elections are around the corner?
Not really. I think quite to the contrary. I think the government of the day, they feel that their numbers are sort of bordering on the outright majority. So they would like to have more MPs to strengthen their numbers. So we are actually looking at we are perhaps looking at election quite far into the future, especially when Bersatu would need time to strengthen their numbers.
Yeah, there seems to be a dichotomy, Isan, in terms of when the next elections will be called. Some say it's going to be once the emergency is over. And like you say, it's actually quite far in the future. What do you think is the most likely scenario with all the evidence that's in front of you?
Well, I think those who are calling for election very soon. They hope, they are quite confident that they could command quite a number of seats. I think we are talking about UMNO, for example. On the other hand, I think Bersatu would indeed still need some time to build up their support because, well, most of their MPs were elected under the Pakatan or at that time, PKR logos or tickets. And now that they have left Pakatan, of course, those voters would not be voting for them. And I think they have yet to earn or gain support from the other side, namely the conservative voters who are traditionally more aligned to either UMNO or PAS.
So with all these defections, right, is this an indictment on Datuk Sri Anwar's leadership of Pakatan Harapan?
Well, in a sense, it is because the argument could be made that if you could not hold together your own party, we are not even talking about Pakatan, it's PKR, your own party, then what more to talk about, you know, becoming the prime minister of the country, right?
So should they replace him?
Well, in an ideal situation, we should replace a lot of these, as you call them, senior leaders. But in this country, the younger generation, sometimes they would still need to make themselves known to most of the voters here.
Yeah, so what does this mean generally for PKR, Ihsan? And if there's more of an exodus from its representatives, what does that mean for the existential nature of PKR? And will we see an acceleration of those, you know, new leaders?
For me, and I would be rather harsh on this, PKR is almost like a party of convenience for various politicians from various ideological bands to join as they feel it is convenient for them to park themselves there. And the only thing which is holding the PKR together is, Anwar's desire to become the next prime minister, right? So I think when a lot of senior politicians there, when they see that the hope for Anwar to become the next prime minister is getting dimmer and dimmer, well, sometimes they might have some other ideas, especially as you suggested, enticements or threats are also on the table here.
Right, let's just really talk about the divorce of town, which is the Bersatu relationship with UMNO. What do you make of that breakup?
Well, again, I think number one, UMNO is quite confident that it could face the voters without Bersatu. Huh? I think the reverse could not be said. I don't think Bersatu is confident to face, UMNO, for example, in the next general election. So I think if I were Bersatu, I would really try my best to keep UMNO on my side.
Aren't you worried that actually Bersatu is able to move non-UMNO MPs over but cannot seem to penetrate UMNO MPs?
Well, when Bersatu was in Pakatan, it could pinch a lot of UMNO MPs. But it is, of course, very curious now that it is supposed to be in a leading position in the ruling coalition, but it is not able to pinch any of UMNO's MPs. So that testifies to UMNO's cohesion as a political party here.
Ihsan, there's also calls from within UMNO, like Tunku Razali, who say that they should just go ahead and face PAS in the polls. Is this wise? And do you think UMNO actually needs PAS to win G15?
UMNO win quite a number of seats. I think the largest number of seats among all the parties in the next coming election. But no, I don't think it is wise to take on the PAS because back in 2018, when UMNO deployed, shall we say, a wrong electoral strategy of trying to ask PAS to come out to sort of divide the opposition's votes then. It backfired on UMNO, and UMNO lost quite a number of seats. I think we're talking about at least 15 to 20 seats. So it is wiser for UMNO to partner with PAS so that they could both win quite a number of seats.
Why not UMNO partner with PKR? I mean, that was clearly impossible like a couple of years, but people are discussing it now, and the relationship with Bersatu is tethered in tatters. Why not UMNO PKR instead?
Well, I think the senior politicians in UMNO and PKR might be toying with that idea, but I think it would stop at the toying stage, because PKR's supporters might not like the idea. You know, the very reason they voted UMNO out was they were not happy with what UMNO was doing for the past many, many years. On the other hand, UMNO supporters would also not be pleased with PKR and, by extension, for example, DAP and so on, which they feel are not conservative enough.
Okay, Isan, thanks so much for your time. That was Dr. O. Isan, the Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs. Meanwhile, on Twitter, BFM is asking all listeners the burning question of what's the biggest problem affecting PKR unity? Four options: weak leadership, weak principles, too much infighting, and not sure. That's about an hour left to lodge your votes, but right now it seems as if at least one out of two people think there's too much infighting. Okay, 7:30 news coming up after this, and then after that, fungible tokens or the non-fungible tokens. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.